Hannah. So I don't really have anything prepared for this week, but I'm just going to rattle off as many Florida jokes as I can within the 3 minutes or so that I have. Yeah, Florida. It smells how it looks, like a penis. And I think I've used that one before. Florida is the whole reason New Balance exists. And I have seen a lot of blue hair and New Balance shoes this week. The difference between Florida and an oven is that an oven doesn't produce serial killers. That one's my favorite.
This Jeep Talk Show flagship episode is brought to you by... Didn't that sound like from the 60s and the 70s when you used to hear commercials on TV? I just I think that's so cool. I had this microphone and this headset, and it just sounds really neat. So I'm the unusual person that enjoys hearing my voice. People go, I knew it! Brought to you by Realtruck.com with over 1 million plus parts and accessories for your Jeep, truck, and life. Stay tuned for Realtruck's glossary of Jeep terminology on RealSource. Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show. And you know, it doesn't matter if you are new to the Jeep world or a seasoned Jeeper, we've got you covered with the latest news, tips, and advice to help you get the most out of your Jeep. On tonight's episode, Jeep is cutting prices. I know you guys didn't buy any Jeep recently, but wouldn't you hate to hear that? You know,
yeah, after you purchase it.
It always happens.
Oh, by the way, there's a discount, but we forgot to offer it to you.
Yeah, it goes on sale.
Yeah, always.
Yes. So I think that happens a lot, but you don't notice it unless you're actually trying. You've just actually had the experience of by buying it that it goes on sale. I love it when people say, oh, I'm going to go ask him for some money back. Good luck.
Yeah. And Newbie, know how that works out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we all know. And in Newbie Nuggets, Wendy shares some trail manners to consider when out wheeling. In Fabricating Frenzy, Larry, parts or systems? You know, I don't know exactly what you mean there, and I bet you our listener doesn't either, so they're going to have to stay tuned and find out what you're talking about there, Larry.
You'll have to figure out if I do, too.
Well, that's the constant here on the show. Oh, so, and in our must-have stuff for your Jeep, cleaning slime. And if this sounds familiar, I think I've mentioned it before. I just think it's so cool. I have yet to buy any yet, though.
Wait, but are we talking about cleaning slime off your vehicle? No, that's not what you're talking about.
Well, we'll see, because that's one of the ways you could take it.
you gotta wait.
If the listener has to wait, so do you.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
Well, howdy, it's Wendy, and on this episode, I'm going to review some trail manners. I know, but I have to mention it.
Oh, Mom.
I know, exactly.
Hi, it's Larry, and I have upgrades to do. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, it's the ongoing thing, right? We all do.
I don't know if you guys have heard, but I'm actually going to be going to EJS. I wasn't going to, but some things changed, and I'm going to be able to go to EJS. So that's all fun and exciting, but you know what that means? I got to get the rest of the Motobilt skid system installed.
Yes, you do.
On the Gladiator. I mean, it's like 3 weeks, so it shouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, yeah, right. It should be possible is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you can do it.
All right. So I know that this won't be interesting to a wide portion of our audience, but I think it's interesting, and I think it shows a trend overall. So the Jeep Compass is below $28,000. And if you're like me, I think that's where it should have been before.
Exactly. Oh, man. And you already know I have my opinion on that vehicle that Jeep did.
I'm counting on it. The 2024 Jeep Compass base model was released below 30K. I mean, that's they wanted it that way. They wanted to make sure it was below the 30K because that sucks people in.
Yeah.
But Jeep has dropped the price again. And this isn't like it's a 2023 model that they're trying to get rid of. This is a 2024. So, you know, this year model. So the entry level sport trim was $27,495. And that includes the destination charge. What the hell is a destination charge? It's like that's on. This is the price if you want it over here, but this is the price if you want it over there.
Yes.
If you actually want it.
It's going to cost you to get it.
I'm just glad it was included. I mean, when in this $27,000 price, I'm glad they included the destination charge. You know, no surprises. God. So that's $2,500 less compared to the original 2024 price.
I wonder though, because you know we've been watching the Gladiator prices slide on 23 models. You know, maybe they've done this to try to get you to buy the brand new one, because there's probably older ones out there and they're discounting those. Maybe this was an effort to just try to get you to buy the new ones as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've reported on the sales sliding for Jeep, and we've talked about it. I think it's interest rates, and there's also a lot of people that are now out of work. So the sales are going to go down during that time. And if you're trying to make your numbers, or at least keep the numbers from getting really, really bad, obviously you got to start cutting prices. And I think that's what they're doing here.
Well, I'm also wondering. Yeah. Well, I'm also wondering if the price is lower to sort of get maybe somebody who's never bought the Jeep brand before to get into
Absolutely.
The Jeep,
no,
right?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Or it's your second vehicle. So suppose you have a Wrangler and it's all set up for off-road, but you want something a little more street-wise.
Street-friendly, MPG-friendly.
Yeah. So maybe this is a neat way to sort of get you either to have two Jeeps in your driveway or to get you started in the Jeep brand.
Mm-hmm. Remind me, Wendy, is the Compass the one that you rented that you just absolutely hated because it was nannying you?
It was because Jeep was sitting in my driver's seat and telling me what to do. Yes, I hated it.
And it wasn't a firefighter or a handsome police officer. One of those two. Because, you know, sexual harassment is not sexual harassment if you like the person that's sexually harassing you. So this was a big no as far as that person of Jeep sitting there.
Correct. And it's all the tech that was doing it, that I was complaining about. The horsepower was great. Nice little car, drives fabulous, but dang, all the stupid tech stuff of, you know, when you're turning on a curve and it's, you know, grabbing the steering wheel and trying to straighten you out of a curve. Well, if the curve is super long and I have to go for a ways, don't tell me how to drive. Anyway,
if you're buying a first car for someone who's sending off to college or someone who's not going to be taking it off road, this would be a nice little vehicle that's got four wheel drive capabilities. You could put someone, I'll say, a newer driver in. We wouldn't have to worry about them too much. It'd have all of the features of four-wheel drive, but obviously you're not taking it out on a serious trail. But it's got a lot of nice perks, and it, to your point, it kind of gets you brought into the brand a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the cool thing is you can turn off all that tech crap.
Yeah, but if it's a rental, you may need a little time to figure out how to turn it off.
Well, if it's a rental, forget it. You just have to deal with it. But if you're going to own it, at least there's buttons you can push. You know, the auto start stop, the dimming of the lights, the high beams, that did not work at all like it should. Stuff like that. It just drives me crazy. Just let me drive the vehicle. So, but somebody who's older, who maybe needs help when the vehicle's, you know, sort of drifting in between the lines, or if you're brand new to driving, I suppose. But again, I'm always going to be a component of, let's teach you how to drive first. Use the technology later. You know, it's like, learn to drive.
So I suspect neither one of you are addicted to your phone and social media so much that you're trying to stay up to speed on both driving and on social media at the same time.
No,
but I'm thinking that those individuals that maybe are like that, these mm-hmm. nanny systems may be good.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. Especially if you're younger and you're worried about them always on the phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, that way that auto braking and all those features, you know,
but to some degree, I think that could actually create more of a problem. I mean, for instance, when you're doing a curve and you're taking that steering wheel and you're, you know, moving it, what you need to move, and you can feel it grabbing it to send you right back. Does that not, if you're inexperienced, and that happens, why wouldn't you overcorrect is what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have the experience. You're thinking, what's causing this? Is the road causing me to do that? And do you spin out? I don't know. I don't know if there's any data out there to determine if that was good or bad. Same with somebody who's maybe getting up there in age. And, you know, there are some huge benefits for some of those features, but they got to work. And as long as I can turn them off, then I'm okay with it. But, you know.
Well, the pandemic people didn't seem to clean out as many people as they wanted to. So
no,
there's going to be a much older population. I know there's going to be some flack from that.
Yes. Call in and send all those letters to Tony.
Nikki G, at the 10 minute podcast.
That's right.
10 minute off-road podcast. Sorry, that's Nikki, right. G.
Nikki G. Yeah, I'll just say this, that, you know, I've noticed this with my daughters who were, you know, early 20s. They don't like the driving experience as much as I'll say I did or people of my age.
That's interesting, isn't it? I love driving.
So what does that mean? They don't want to drive. They want to just get to a spot and be done, or what does that mean, Larry?
Well, I'll just say for my group, the car was every bit of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's right? Freedom.
So, right. Yes. And you were kind of, you kind of live through your vehicles, and I'll say to some degree, I still do. But for my daughters and it's no more than a toaster or anything else. It's something you get in, you go to a place, and there's no connection, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I see.
It's like a lot of us Jeepers, when we do things to our Jeep, it's an extension of our personality. We're specializing this Jeep to reflect who we are, and I did that back when I was a kid with my Nova with the L60s, and you know, jacketed up in the back and stuff. Now it looks different. It looks like something that I've created. I mean, it looked like other vehicles, but it wasn't the majority of the vehicles out there. So, but yeah, and I find it really interesting. I've seen this stuff on YouTube stories and things I've read online where kids just aren't that interested in having vehicles. And like you say, Larry, it's just an appliance. And with the Teslas, for example, which I always talk about, I'm a stockholder, so I watch it very closely. They're very much making a simplified version of a vehicle. It's electric. And it's even going to be, full self-driving is out, and they just haven't released it from the unattended full self-driving, but that's coming. I think we're going to see that very quickly. And then it absolutely becomes an appliance. It's just something you go and open the door and sit down, and it's not even the driver's seat that you have to sit down in. They're even talking about this is 100% the movie iRobot. They're even talking about the steering wheel being in the dash and out of your way. And it only pops out is if you press a button or probably tell AI that you need it. I know. Actually, I can see your face when
Total Recall. Here we come.
Well, in iRobot, Will Smith was like, you know, manual or whatever, and it says, the passenger says, "You're going 300 miles an hour, and there's no way you can, you know, drive that." Of course, Will Smith, being a man, says, "Yeah, yeah, give me the damn steering wheel.
Watch this."
Hey, you know, think about it this way too. So when we grew up, what tech did we have?
It was an engine and wheels.
Exactly. That was our tech. We didn't have all the other techs. Not to sound like the old crotchety old man, but that was our tech.
You kids today.
Right. It's just different. Now, there's a lot of other things out there, you know, as far as, you know, things that they can do. And for us, it was the car and what we did to it, and, you know, the engine and all this and that, the interior. But there's so many other things today that I'll say grabs their attention. That car is just it's an appliance.
Okay, who here can drive a standard transmission?
Do it every day.
Yep.
Who here can steer, shift, eat a hamburger, and hold a drink?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? That was all a prerequisite. Drive with your knees. What are you talking
about?
Drive
with your knees.
Talk about distracted driving. I mean,
no, we weren't distracted. We were completely in control. It was awesome.
And you can add
spill the chili.
Yeah, and you can and you can add talking on the ham radio for mine. So
there you go.
It was a juggling thing. But yeah, steer with the knee. So we learned how to adapt to these things, and I think that with all this automatic stuff, no pun on the transmission, people are going to be at a loss when things aren't going perfectly well, because there's always that situation that isn't perfect.
Well, and that's why I talk about when we have students, turn off the technology. Let's teach you how to drive your vehicle first and understand and feel your way through. so that when and if technology fails, because it can, I mean, it's bound to happen, you're not left going, oh my gosh, how do I even start it? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But at its core, doesn't every generation go through this? I mean,
yes,
if you talk to our parents.
Oh, absolutely.
Or if you talk two generations from now, it'll be a different curve because things are just entirely different for that generation than it was for the one previous.
So this episode will be in a history class that's online, are beamed directly into students' brains, and they'll be showing this is the way people thought back at the beginning of the first 25% of the 21st century.
And let's listen to these guys. Like,
wow, that's an amazing concept.
Yeah. They're old people. Yeah, yeah.
So hello to the future from the Jeep Talk Show.
I
want to, you know, whenever they start sending people to Mars, actual people to Mars, I want somebody to send me a clip of watching or listening to the Jeep Talk Show on your way to Mars.
And taking stickers. Hello.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and then that's a good segue. Elon, if you're listening or if we can get this message to Elon, I'm more than willing to get you to put a nice big sticker on one of the Starships, a Jeep Talk Show sticker. It's going to be very expensive, so I'm going to need you to pay for that too.
Yes.
Tony, I'm very disappointed in you right now. You're not playing that little sound effect.
Which one is that?
That one?
Yes.
Oh, is that? Okay. I was thinking one of the ones of like, you're so loud, or shut up.
No. the little like Jetsons noise that Wendy just made.
There you go. That's it. But buckle up, folks.
So anyway, the news story here is the Jeep Compass. Not to say this isn't a great conversation.
It is a good car. You just have to understand.
So back to the Jeep Compass prices. So the sport model is $27,495 that we talked about. That's a $2,500 savings. I want to say $25,000, but that's not right.
That would be awesome.
The Latitude model is you save $2,930. And the Latitude Lux, that's got to be deluxe, but anyway, $2,645, and the Limited is just over $2,000, and the Trailhawk, is a $2,795 savings. So there are significant savings on all, and I suspect this is all the models of the Compass. It doesn't say that here, but I suspect that's all the models for the Compass. So it's savings across the board. It's not like that, I see an ad here for this great price on this vehicle. And go, oh, yeah, we sold that one. But here's this other one that's $30,000 more.
Can I get the Trackhawk version of that?
Oh, that'd be nice.
$130,000?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Grand Cherokee with the Trackhawk. I was always more interested in the Trackhawk because I know, as far as it being a Trailhawk, what am I going to be doing with the Grand Cherokee? I mean, that's great if you lost a bet and you got to take something off-road. So other than pricing, the 2024 Compass is unchanged. It continues to have an all-wheel drive as standard. And again, that's back to that automatic crap that you have no control over or less control over, along with an 8-speed automatic transmission. I love my 8-speed in the Gladiator.
It's fast.
Assuming it's the same one, it probably is. All models come with turbocharged 2.0-liter four-cylinder making 200 horsepower and 221 pound-feet of torque, which I think is like X-shape horsepower and torque. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There might be more torque. But anyway, and of course, the 2024 Compass is on dealer lots right now as we speak.
Down.
Yeah. Come on down. I remember one time we were, my boss and I were driving through Pasadena, Texas, and I'm just looking around from the passenger seat, and I see this. There's a lot of car lots on that road that we were driving down, and there's also some religious things, and it says Jesus saved. And I just did my radio voice and said, Jesus saved, and you can too. You know, like, come on in. Let Jesus take the wheel. You take the car.
Exactly.
All right. So this past weekend, I think this is right. Yeah, this past weekend, I went to Katie's Crossroads Ice House because they were having their monthly Jeep meet. Now, I had originally spoke a couple of months ago since I last talked about Jeepers meeting for breakfast or at this ice house near the Jeep Talk Show Studio A. But I went, like I was talking about, went to the latest Jeep meet there, and we firmed up a place and a start date. So March the 10th, Sunday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Katy Crossings Ice House. They have beverages, food, and a beautiful area to park your Jeep. It's free, and all you have to do is show up. Awesome. I do have a picture of the event that I went to recently in the show notes. So just go to jeeptalkshow.com and search for episode 990 to see this picture. Guys, you can see it. And I mean, this isn't like just a asphalt road that's set up, the parking lot. It's all brick. It's a beautiful area, and you guys can see there in the background the Katy not Commerce, it's Katy Government Building, whatever.
Is that the courthouse
yeah, that type of thing. Where all the and I thought for Katy, especially old Katy, that thing is like $1 million too much. I mean, it's a very nice area, but it's older homes, subdued type thing. And this is a really fancy building, but it's right there next to this this beautiful place, beautiful park, lots of parking. And as you can see, it's mandatory back in. You have to back in your Jeeps.
Just to clarify, the parking is free, not the food.
No, but it's free to attend. Anything
okay,
that you want,
all right.
Yeah, anything you want to go past that, you have to pay for. Okay. And so I'll be there from the Jeep Talk Show, if you didn't know who I'm with. Greg from Underground Graphics, he did the graphics, or his shop did the graphics on the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator and the XJ. And many of the people that are out there, because he's very popular locally. He also sends stuff to pretty much anywhere in the world too, as well now. So also Todd from offroading101.com, we've had him on the show. I've taken one of his classes, very good classes, always speak very highly of that. And Clint from Texas Four Wheel Drive, and Larry, you probably remember Clint, the guy that was in tight with Barnwell, and who we were dealing with as far as possibly going to Barnwell for our event. But more on the event here later in the show. Anyway, I hope to see you there. And again, this is in Katy, Texas. So obviously, if you are in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, anywhere, you're more than welcome, but we'll understand if you don't come. All right, so I like this vehicle, and I'm going to talk about it again. The first Jeep EV coming to us in July, possibly. So obviously, we were talking earlier about Jeep has slashed prices during its slump, the selling slump that they're in. And you can get up to $4,000 off a Grand Cherokee, and that's their best-selling vehicle. So that tells you a lot whenever you get that much money, or either that or the thing is stupid expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the problem, isn't it? And I think there's writing on the wall that things are vehicles are getting ready to be less expensive in the next 5 or 10 years. Tesla says they're going to have a $25,000 vehicle in 18 months to 2 years. And that's going to hurt these ICE manufacturers quite a bit because it's going to be real simple for people to say, well, I can save a lot of money and not pay the gas prices and try an EV. Yeah, I think it's time for me to try one and see if I can get over the range anxiety and so on and so forth. So Jeep's first EV in the U.S., the Wagoneer S SUV, should be in production in the second quarter of 2024, and deliveries could happen as soon as the third quarter, which I think that's the July thing they're talking about. So and I don't know that this is official, but they actually say Jeep is aiming for, I like the way they put that, because it really depends on how good your aim is.
Exactly.
Is aiming for 400-mile range to compete with every Rivian's R1S.
Hmm.
Yeah, now if you can get that, I think that would be something most people would lose some of that, the anxiety about when do you charge and all that. 400 miles is a pretty good clip.
That's heavy duty. I mean, that probably would get most people back and forth to work. If they lived within 20, 25 miles of work, they could probably go all week on a tank, so to speak. So 600 horsepower, and just off the top of my head, I'm thinking you can get more range if you don't have 600 horsepower. Well, and you're able to do 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, both those things are cool, but you gotta figure doing that 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds a lot, which you're going to do when you first get it, is going to cut back on that 400-mile range. So, did you guys hear recently Elon Musk said that he believes Rivian will file a bankruptcy within 6 quarters?
What?
I know you're a Rivian fan, or you at least been impressed by it, Wendy.
Well, yeah, because we did training with the Rivian. It was great. I mean, you know, the range and the support that the Rivian gives to their owners, it's actually a pretty interesting vehicle.
You know, you're going to have to get us some video if somebody shows up with a Cybertruck, because that's going to be another interesting one.
Well, it's up here. It's been up here in Big Bear. Somebody's running around with it up here trying to do off-roading. Kind of funny.
Somebody did a water foraging mm-hmm. forage. They went through high water with a Cybertruck, and the water actually was coming up on the windshield at mm-hmm. the very bottom of the windshield. So they were really going through that. I think that Tesla says 28 inches is the most that you want to do before there some damage may occur. And I'm thinking salt water is probably worse.
they can't be good.
Salt water's in batteries.
Not to mention sand. And yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of them getting stuck on trails too. They're trying.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing what they should do, which is get it out and try it in all kinds of terrain mm-hmm. so that you can honestly say, this is what the vehicle can do. This is what we don't recommend that you should do. Right.
Yeah. So, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that the Compass is probably a better off-road vehicle than the Cybertruck.
Yeah. I'm thinking so based on what I've seen.
So,
but, you know, it's in Elon's best interest to say that the Rivian's going out because
he always
exactly
yeah
has killed a competition.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
because that truck is sexy looking. I mean, it's a nice, sleek looking truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Futuristic. Yeah. I always like
better have the Rivian than the Cybertruck.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You couldn't catch me in the Cybertruck.
I've only seen the inside of a Rivian once. But it really reminded me of the Star Trek The Next Generation or even the Voyager shuttles, where it's just this smooth display. Can you imagine without a steering wheel? I mean, if the steering wheel is in the dash, and then you really have that situation. I think that the shuttles, and I'm glad you guys brought this up. I think that the Star Trek shuttle should at least have a joystick that you can pop up and, you know, fly that thing manually. Where's the fun in pressing buttons? Beep, 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 beep. Anyway. Nobody claimed that they didn't bring it up. I like that. So who wants to bet they'll be lucky, Jeep will be lucky to hit Cybertruck's 350 stated mile range?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you guys care.
We're not going to take a bet now.
So,
it's a big car. I mean, it's the weight alone.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what the real testing is.
Mm-hmm. But still, I am very impressed with this SUV.
Especially, now, wait a minute.
Especially being at 400 miles.
Tony, you should say, you know, if anybody from Jeep is listening and they need us to test it, we have three different locations in this country that the three of us are from.
So you're interested in driving one. That's interesting.
Well, why not? We could help test them and figure it out.
I figured you didn't want the stink of the EV on you, Wendy, to be honest.
No, it doesn't matter. I'm an opportunist, you know? Let's try everything.
No,
that's what I did about the Rivian. It was so cool to take it off road.
Yeah.
See what that truck could do. It was.
Were you able to drive it, or were you just guiding and driving?
I didn't get to. Bill got to be in there and drive it. It was pretty cool. I mean, it was good. But everything it could do, there was nothing that it couldn't do based on the trails that we were on and being able to, you know, it had 14 inches of lift and then it goes into off road mode and I think it drops down about 2. But the articulation in it was amazing. I mean, it's just like, this is a no-brainer.
So if you were trying to go up a 2-foot shelf, would it be able to handle up or down a 2-foot shelf?
Yeah, depending on the tires that we put on it, absolutely. Air down, right?
Interesting.
Why not?
That's a nice vehicle.
Because the torque and the power in the electric mode?
Absolutely. I'm just thinking you can't really modify it very much, so the approach and departure angles might be an issue.
it's actually shorter. It's, let's see, was the wheelbase just a hair shorter than my four-door? I mean, it's pretty much about the same size. So there wasn't any issues. I mean, it was, it's amazing what they cleared. So again, I didn't take them on John Bull. we didn't do a big black diamond.
Yeah, but I mean, but my Gladiator would have a hard time on John Bull, and I've made modifications to it. You don't think so?
No, I could get you through.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that. I'm thinking there might be some interesting band-aids that I have to put onto it.
No, not necessarily. No, once you get those skid plates on, I mean, sometimes you use the rocks to pivot around. I mean, Larry's been on John Bull. He knows. You know, there's some sections that you have to really pick your line on any trail that you do in any place in this country. So, yeah.
Larry, was it you that was telling me about some guy that has a Jeep that's like on 30s and he's got skid plates and he takes that thing everywhere because you can just, it just slides over the skid plates.
Just
he's not worried
the heck about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't me, but we've all seen them. I mean, there was some Jeeps that weren't ridiculous when we were out there with Wendy.
Yeah.
It was just, who was it? It was, friend of the show. I can't think.
Eddie.
Josh.
Eddie and, no, two-door Jeep.
Are you talking about Andrew?
Paul was there. Or did Paul take his Gladiator?
Oh, you're talking about in California. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, just 35s, two-door.
Well, you were there at the Jeep Talk Show event where Andrew was taking his LJ that had 30s on it. That was funny. Actually, I wasn't with with you guys when you were out there, but there was a lot of interesting comments on that whole run. I wish we could get Guy back in his, 89 YJ? That was so much fun. The only rollover we've ever had was him. He didn't care. People of the Jeep community know that Jeepers are a different breed of human being, maybe even a different breed of automotive enthusiast. I think that's true. The way a Jeeper walks and talks is as big and bold as a lifted JLU on 40 tires and super lift suspension lift kit. I was thinking Texan. I thought they were going to say Texan.
Oh.
Those are who are unfamiliar with the Jeep terminology may be slightly taken back overhearing a conversation between a couple of Jeep lovers. To educate those that are not in the know, the experts and writers at Real Truck's Real Source blog have assembled their... their definitive guide for Jeep terminology. From generational codes and their meaning to common slang terms and phrases used in the world of off-road Jeep automotive. You know, I'm thinking they hear a lot of that stuff here. So you can actually use this to translate some of the things we say.
Exactly.
Real Truck's definitive guide to Jeep terminology has all the answers a Jeep would ever want, including crazies and phenomena like Jeep stacking, ducking, quack. Check out the guide today on RealSource via realtruck.com/blog or on today's Jeep Talk show notes. You just go to realtruck.com/blog/the-definitive-guide to Jeep terminology.
Well, and we also have our guide on the Jeep Talk Show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you go to...
And that's been there for, how many years you guys have been putting that together?
Yeah, absolutely. If you just go to the site, jeeptalkshow.com, and look at the show notes, you will see words that are highlighted there in the blog. And any of those words that are highlighted, you can mouse over. I don't know how you mouse over on a phone or click on it. I do know how you click on a phone. And read what that term means. We want you to be more involved in the Jeep world, and we want you to understand some of the Jeep idiosyncrasies, the weird things that we say in the Jeep world.
Has Warsher made it yet?
Warsher with an R.
That's a subset under Larry.
Yes, it needs to be added, Tony. We need to add it.
What? Where's the noob?
Noob! 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 Hey, newbie! Newbie!
Noob Nugget.
It's time for Newbie Nuggets.
Well, we're going to talk about some trail manner since we talked about organized trail runs. And, you know, having... You always have to play
Mom,
that to bring this up.
I want to have fun. I don't want to have manners.
Oh, gosh. If you want to be invited back on the trail run with those people, having good manners is good. Anyway, if you wheel with people that are rude and do some of these things I'm going to mention, you know, just stop wheeling with them, because honestly, that's not really what wheeling is all about. So you're not obligated to wheel with anybody. So good.
I can't believe
anyway.
You're part of the cancel culture, Wendy. This really shocks me.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this all goes hand in hand with just being a good steward out there. So anyway, if you're kind and courteous as a normal person, you're already ahead of the game with trail manners. Most people you meet on the trails, I think Larry would agree, and same with Tony, we're very courteous and we're very polite people. So that's a cool thing.
Yes.
But there's a couple things just to kind of keep in mind if you're out there. Maybe you're by yourself. Maybe you're just joining a group. What to kind of look for to make sure that these are people that you really want to wheel with. So when you're wheeling, you may come across another group that you either pass along the way or travel in an opposite direction. You want to say hello. I've been out many times where there have been some groups that don't say hello back, which is kind of weird, but most everybody does. If your group is smaller, you're going to pull over and let the larger group pass. It's kind of a standard trail manners. If you are the bigger group, then the other one should pull over. But there have been times we've been out with a big group with about 10 or 12 Jeeps, and there was one coming the other way, and she was quite upset that she had to pull over. Anyway,
newbies.
But you know, newbies for sure. She just didn't know that, you know, when it's a single Jeep, it's easy to back up or to find a spot to be able to let everybody else pass. So, and again, this depends on the trails that you're on. A lot of times we're on trails that are, you know, single lane. They're not too wide like a normal highway would be. So just something to keep in mind, that that's kind of the general standard of manners is you try to pull over, which means if you're the leader, always think about exits or places where you could back your group up, maybe around a curve. It's a little bit wider. You can actually get Jeeps kind of pulled in there to let someone else pass. So keep that in mind. When you do decide to take a break, maybe you park, you need to get off the road completely. That's just basic manners. But I can tell you, with my experience, there's many times I've come on a basic trail and there's four or five Jeeps just parked right in the middle of the road because they think they're all by themselves out there. So make sure that you're doing that. And especially if it's a lunch break, make sure that you're off the road, but don't crowd someone else's serene spot. You know, if there's a group already picked a cool lookout or whatever, you don't have to join them. I mean, honestly, you can ask, hey, can we join you or can we sit over here? If not, just go on down. It'd be another good possibility if, you know, a mile or so down the road. So one thing that I do like to bring up, because I'm in the horse world, is that yielding to horses, you do need to check and see what your yield laws are in your state. In California specifically, the equestrian, which is a horse and rider, has the right of way on all roads and trails, period. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, paved or not. Even hikers need to yield to horses. So if you yield around that area where there are horses present, you just need to slow down, maybe even turn off the engine. It's a great sort of way to figure out what you need to do. Most people that are riding our horses are pretty sturdy. They're pretty well, you know, versed in noises and things that come through. But, you know, someone could be on a young horse and you really don't want to have to encounter that situation of a horse panicking because your engine's revving. So plan to turn it off. I know motorcyclists will do that a lot too. Just turn it off. Wait till that rider either, you know, waves you on or they pass and cross the road. The Pacific Crest Trail is a trail that starts in Mexico and goes to the Canadian border. A lot of our trails out here in Big Bear and throughout even the Southern California area, they actually cross over those PCT all the time. So we know that that's a possibility. There could be equestrians along with, you know, hikers as well, but equestrians on the trail. So just understand that you know a little bit about what's the horses. Same too, there's a lot of cows that graze on different states and that's free range. Those cows have the right of way. Sorry. So just know that that could be something else that you encounter. There's a great little trail that we do to get to one of our washes. And those steers with the big long horns out here, it's tough. You don't want to be getting, you know, toe to toe with one of those guys. And there's nothing you can do. If they're in the middle of the trail, you got to wait till they pass. It's kind of interesting. So just be aware that there could be wildlife and things like that out there. When you are passing other Jeepers, it's nice to let them know how many's in your group. Traditionally, I'd like to teach you to use your hand signals. You know, if it's one behind you or there's three behind you,
Don't be cute if there's one behind you. Use the index finger.
It's always one.
Yay. I always like when you do two and they're like, hey, peace out. Peace, yeah, like, that's not what I'm saying. You know?
Multiple meanings. We need to add this to the definitions on the Jeep Talk Show.
Exactly. But traditionally, as the leader, you would tell them how many's in the group. So if I've got 10 behind me, I'm going to hold up both hands. There's 10. But a lot of times you realize that the other groups don't really understand what you're saying by holding up the number of fingers. So we have also maybe go ahead and put up, hey, I've got 7 behind, and then we'll roll down the window and just tell their leader, hey, we've got 7 of us behind. And they're going to say, oh, we've got 3. So generally, again, back to that rule, whoever has the most in the group generally has the right of way. However, as I've talked about in other episodes, that isn't always the case. So it's more about just having a quick conversation with the leader of each group, deciding what needs to happen, who needs to back up, or can we pass? So that's just something to keep in mind. And if you're already off-roading on a motorcycle or quad, you're probably already holding up the number of fingers. We pass motorcycles all the time, and I love it because they'll tell us how many are coming. So generally, we will stop as a Jeep group, let the motorcycles pass, and we know, hey, I'm counting to see, okay, I know the last one has come, now I can continue to go forward. So if you're the group leader, that is a big responsibility to let the opposing traffic know how many's in your group. So, and the same with whoever's at the end of your group holds up 0, and that doesn't mean whatever else people think it means today. Or, you know, 0 means 0. So.
Right on.
Yeah. Woohoo. But that's just good manners to have that. So, and the last thing I want to cover is trash pickup. I mean, having good manners, it's part of trail etiquette. It's part of what we talk about, tread lightly. But you know what? We're out there having a good time. We're having a lunch break. You, as the leader of that group, need to make sure that everybody picks up their trash. I mention it in my driver meeting in the beginning. We're not leaving anything behind. And if you're driving along and you see bottles or trash that someone else has thrown out and you want to stop along the trail and pick it up, that's great too. Mm. So that's kind of why we all want to have a bag or bags along with us so we can pick up trash. But that is very important, that we do not leave more than what we came with, right? We're supposed to pack it in, pack it out. So always, always, always pick up your trash. So pretty much this is common sense about having manners. It's not hard to figure out. You want to have a good time. You want to be invited back to a group. And again, if you're with a group that is throwing trash, breaking bottles, they're going off the trails and not paying attention to where the trail is, they're being rude, you do not have to wheel with those people. You can turn around at any point and go home, seriously. Mm-hmm. But you yourself, as a newbie in the trail, or if you're growing with a group you're not sure about, you just need to set the higher standard for yourself and those you run with. And anybody that runs with us knows that's what we expect. And there's no problem. There's no issues. And we're all about just making sure that we have a good time and have those great manners. So
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but from my standpoint, I would recommend not trying to educate people that are doing it wrong. It's just like Wendy said, just don't wheel with them. You know, maybe leave and not be part of the issue. And if they ask, say, well, you guys are doing this, that, and the other. You guys are doing what Wendy told me not to do. And I can't,
exactly.
disappoint Wendy, which I really like that, because that'll be confused and they'll find out, they'll ask, who's Wendy? And Jeep Talk Show.
Jeep
and
Talk Show.
Oh yeah. Is it a show about Jeeps? What was your first clue?
The name.
So, I think that what I'm going to do is, you mentioned the word equestrian a few times. I don't think I'm pronouncing it properly, but that's the standard for me. I think I'm going to add that as a term on our the Jeep Talk Show references there. And actually, when you hover your mouse over it, it's going to say horsey.
Horsey.
Yes. No, horsey. It's going to be horsey, not horses.
Oh, horsey. Oh, I like it. Horsey. Well, that is true.
Yeah, I remember, Wendy, when I was out there, you and Bill showed me the PC, where the PCT crosses a couple of the trails out there.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. I mean, the PCT pretty much is active for us probably in March, would be super early through. Usually they're done by May for us.
Because what the hell is that? Get,
the PCT is the Pacific Crest Trail. It goes from Mexico to Colorado. I mean, to Canada. Sorry,
Canadian.
It's like the Appalachian Trail on the East Coast.
Neat.
And people hike it. They'll do it all in one time, but they start usually in March, early March, from Mexico, because they're trying to get through the desert parts of that trail, which are central part of California. not in the dead of heat.
Right.
And some people will do it in sections. They'll do so many days or weeks, and then they'll stop, and then next year they pick it up. There have been multiple people that do it on horseback, and that's a whole huge support system because you've got to have feed and you got to have water. And so
you're talking about from the standpoint of entertainment, adventure, not coming into the country illegally or both.
No, that's not. It's fun.
Just to make sure that we're giving the right signals here.
Well, exactly. And all the cities get involved. So like in Big Bear, when they come into town, there's people, you know, hitchhiking basically to get a ride into town off the PCT trail. So people, we pick them up all the time. There's people who will house them and let them come in. They feed them. There's the post offices involved. You can sign your name. They will ship clothing and different things depending on the season. So they get up here and all of a sudden there's winter, a surprise snowstorm, and they didn't plan for that. So then, or they plan for the winter and now they're going to go into the desert part of the trail. So they will ship all the winter stuff home.
Well,
you're trying to,
you can shoplift up what, $979. You can pick up a lot of clothes like for that.
So easy. So easy. Anyway, but yeah,
I need to shut up. All
right. But it's kind of fun.
One again.
That's right. You can always look up the PCT trail, but there are opportunities. And so when we ride our horses, we will be on that PCT for a brief moment. We're not doing the PCT trail, but we will use that to cross different parts of the roads and things like that. So it's just as a wheeler, you need to understand that there can be, we got burros up here, which are donkeys. You've got wildlife, deer, of course, you know, probably bear, although I've never seen a bear. And of course, people riding horses because it's all sort of natural. So just depending on your area, you could have alligators if you're in Florida, I'm sure.
Oh, you know,
watch out for that wildlife kind
deer
of stuff.
As well. Just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, yep. Check out our YouTube channels. We've also got a website, Trails411, and you can find me on Instagram, Jeep Harley Tactical.
So remind me to tell you the story of stopping on the way back from Galveston, I think it was, go skinny dipping in a body of water just off the side of the road. This wasn't a major area.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did he say skinny dipping?
And the girl that I was with was attacked by an alligator.
Hopefully it's a dream because would Galveston have alligators?
No. This is on the way back from Galveston.
From Galveston.
Yeah, we live about 60 miles north of Galveston. And I as a manly man of an age of about 16 years old, was out of that body of water. And I think it was the speed at which you can go to 0 to 60. And then I got up on the on the bank and I was like, oh, where's Leslie?
Oh, I forgot her.
Is she okay?
She was fine, but she had bite marks a good 7 inches across. It was a big alligator.
And you're such a stud. Look at you.
I know. And I didn't know anything about alligators being in bodies of water like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But, she was fine. It was a hard explanation for a couple of 16-year-olds to tell why we were in that body of water. But, yeah. So, remind me to tell you that story sometime.
Okay. Stay tuned, folks, because that might be one of the episodes. You never know.
Almost sounds like the Nikki G crockpot.
I was going to say.
Welcome to Fabricating Frenzy with Larry, also known as Jeeping Mo, whose hair is not curly.
All right, so last week I was making the pilgrimage under my Jeep to check on some damage, you know, and as we do every now and then. It's been a while. So I have several mods with my suspension to the axles, and I needed to see how well they were all playing together. Well, this time I found out my mods weren't playing well together.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah. So I run a Rough Country adjustable front track bar. And I also run a Steer Smarts sector shaft brace. Well, as you can guess, as that thing starts flexing, the track bar was actually hitting that sector shaft brace. And so I'm looking at it because when I bought that adjustable track bar at that time, it was early 19. There wasn't many people making them, and the few that were, they cost a fortune. So I tried that Rough Country, and I've been running that thing since 19 with really no issues until I put that sector shaft brace on.
Well, this isn't Rough Country's fault then. It's Larry's fault.
Oh yeah. No, it was a bad mashup. It was nothing against the product.
It happens.
Yes, it does.
Once again, I've been wheeling that thing with really not many issues. So, I mean, you could point to either one of those two of being the problem. Mm-hmm. Probably the installer, if anything else. But, we're not going to say that.
So Roger installed it for you is what you're saying?
Ooh, upside down. No. All right. So that leaves me. Yeah. So I did find a couple of things. I found some end links that bolts have came off, and some little things. It actually has been a while since I've been out, so finally the snow had all melted. I could crawl under there and see what had been hitting on everything. So it kind of leads me to my question. So when you pick parts you buy, do you stick with one brand and hope they did all the testing for you, or do you do any testing on the parts after you've put them on? Or do you just send it and just, or you wait and see what's hitting and binding? Now, once again, I bought that track bar in 19, and there really hasn't been any issues, with it until I put that sector shaft brace on. So, I do have a new Steer Smarts track bar just waiting to go on. And we'll see how far I can flex it out and see if it hits that sector shaft brace. And I'm hoping to fix it. I'm also hoping that they did some testing to know that if a guy puts their two parts on, that they're not going to hit each other. But I know many companies like Metal Cloak, AEV, Terraflex, there's plenty others. They make complete systems that all should work together. But what I want to know is, how do you approach mods? Is it totally about the cost of the components, or do you pay up for systems? Because, some people, they shop, they get this component, it's cheaper, and they mash it up with that one because it's cheaper. And some people, they'll just go out and buy the whole undercloak system from Metal Cloak or something like that and put the whole thing on. So I just want to know, I want you to call in and tell me, what's your approach to the mods? We all mod out our Jeeps one form, fashion, or another. And we want to know how you do it. Do you like systems? Do you kind of mash them all up together? Do you test it? Do you just send it? Kind of what's your approach there?
Yeah, I definitely want to hear from the listeners, but I'll tell you from my perspective, generally speaking, I would much prefer to have the system. If it's a good company and good products, I would much prefer to have the system. My pocketbook says, get the stuff as you can.
That's right.
Right. Well, when I bought my JL, I bought one of the first JLs when they first came out. So my JL, I bought early 19. It was, they didn't come out until mid 18. So there wasn't a whole lot of systems. Now, there was quite a bit out there, a lot more than probably what was for the JK when it was released. But there still wasn't a lot out there. And what was out there was extremely expensive because there just wasn't a lot out there. So you kind of had to mash it together unless
competition really or not much up. Competition yet because it was brand
really.
New. Right.
Right. So, yeah, a little mod here, a little mod there. Before you know it, I got stuff hitting. But that's what we're trying to fix now.
So what you're saying is self-clearancing isn't something you're looking for as far as it fixing itself.
Well, no, the big heavy track bar and the big heavy sector shaft, nothing's clearancing very well.
Yeah. Well, you just haven't gone over enough stuff.
We haven't
stuff
hit
yet.
Hard enough.
Yeah, hit hard enough on enough stuff. So tell me real quick, what's the difference? Can you see a physical difference between the Rough Country track bar and the Steer Smarts? I'm thinking the Steer Smarts is like super beefy.
It's super beefy, but the track bar has a big curve in it. Right, to get around things. And that Rough Country one has a huge curve in it. So it's much more than the Steer Smarts version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I need much to clear everything because I run roughly about 8 inches of up travel. And when that tire goes full stuff, I mean, it's all the way on the stops and it's hitting. I don't think that it's binding up too much, but it's just enough so that it is hitting that sector shaft nut. Now, it could be really moving things out of the way when it does, you know, it could be shoving things over as well. Mm-hmm. But there is a little difference in that curve that's on the track bar.
Mm-hmm. I know Greg Henderson loves Steer Smarts. He really believes in that stuff. And that's a big plus for me if Greg likes it. It's like the old cereal commercial. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. So if Greg likes it, I have a tendency to like it. So, yeah, you'll have to tell us more about the Steer Smart stuff. Is the track bar and the sector shaft brace the only thing you have from Steer Smarts?
I have a rear track bar from Steer Smarts as well. Mm-hmm. Currently, that's about all I run of Steer Smarts right now.
Yeah. Any idea about maybe doing the drag link and the tie rod or getting a system over the knuckle system from Steer Smarts, or maybe you're already running over the knuckle? I don't think so, though.
No, right now I'm running a Synergy drag link and tie rod that actually came with the Rubicon axles that I bought.
Oh, okay.
So right now there's not, you know, maybe if I switch to seal knuckle or something down the road, maybe we'll change some of that. But up to this point, things have been working pretty good. You know, just finding a few issues with parts. You know, what's your old saying?
While you're in there?
No, that's one of them. But the other one is no modification goes unpunished.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. That one. Exactly.
And sometimes the punishment is financial. Sometimes it's both physically and financial. So you were on our impromptu Zoom meeting last night, and we were talking to Allison, the lady that works with the company American Iron, I believe is what
yes.
it is, and the ball joint deletes.
Yes.
Now you knew about them before that, right? I mean, I think maybe you were even sitting at the table when we were looking at the cutaways
yes.
that she provided. Any thoughts about going to something like that or waiting till it's time?
Well, I think waiting till it's time, but you know, I've been in communication with Allison for a while. The factory that makes those really isn't that far from me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been trying to get in contact with her to go down and do a video on those ball joint deletes at the plant where they make them. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, make good contact. Good yeah. content.
She was on the
video.
You heard me give her a hard time about doing a damn interview with Josh with American Iron or really anybody from there, because I want to talk to somebody about those ball joint delete kits.
She's very busy.
I don't care. I want them on the show. if I didn't mention it before, it's all about me. What I need.
I get it. Yeah, we've been in communications basically since last EJS to try to set up a time to go down there and shoot the video.
Yeah, they want to do it. It's just I know they're very busy, and also too these things are very much in demand. So how much advertising do they really need? I just want to learn more about them. I think it's a really cool idea.
Yepper.
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G, and I'm still vacationing here in Florida visiting the in-laws. Yeah, I know. You can dig it. And so I don't really have anything prepared for this week, but I'm just going to rattle off as many Florida jokes as I can within the 3 minutes or so that I have. Yeah, Florida. It smells how it looks, like a penis. Well, I think I've used that one before. Florida is the whole reason New Balance exists. And I have seen a lot of blue hair and New Balance shoes this week. The difference between Florida and an oven is that an oven doesn't produce serial killers. That one's my favorite. The zoo here in Florida has a description of the animal in front of the cage, as well as a recipe.
Oh, Jesus.
People go to the movies in groups of 18 or more down here in Florida because under 17 is not allowed.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh,
that boy. One, not my best work.
I agree.
And the toothbrush was invented here in Florida. Because if it was invented anywhere else, it would be called a teeth brush. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I got it.
And I don't know how much time I have, so I guess I could just fill out the rest of the time until the beep with some whale songs.
Oh!
Well, I hope this doesn't take too long. My voice is starting to get sore.
It's almost over, people. It's over.
Oh,
so, okay, I'm going to paint a picture for you, a visual picture. Nikki G is sitting in the bathroom on his cell phone.
Yeah.
Wendy, his wife, is in there with her parents, with her face up, with her hand on her face palm, while they're wondering what Nikki G is doing in the bathroom, making those kind of sounds.
Is he all right?
He's calling into the Jeep Talk Show. Really? Yeah, what's that?
She's probably like, no, that's just Nikki. Let it go.
I'm sure at this point they just shake their head, just keep going.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think it's his first day there, so I think they probably got over the Nikki G newness already.
I love it.
All righty. So this is a big deal. It was a big deal to me because I've been a Stacey David fan for years. I remember seeing him on Trucks. I had to actually be reminded that he was originally on Trucks because it's been so long ago. But I think it was Bill from the Jeep Talk Show team said, oh, yeah, he was on Trucks. And, of course, I remember him from the most recent thing that he does, which is Gears, G-E-A-R-Z. And I haven't watched Gears in a long time. When we cut the cable, I lost that channel that I watched the Power Block stuff on and the Gears stuff on. And I didn't even think about looking for it on YouTube. But after talking to do an interview with Stacey David that's coming up Friday, it was really a fun interview. I really enjoyed myself. And I think it's correct that whenever I enjoy myself, you're going to enjoy it too. Lots of great information, and you can actually watch Gears on YouTube. It's still on a station out there. It's jumped around as the sports and vehicle channels have come and gone, or stations have come and gone, networks, I guess you should say. So you can actually watch Gears right there on YouTube, and it's great because I can watch Gears again. And sometimes you just have to know about it, and it's there available for you. Wendy, are you familiar with Stacey David? I bet you Larry is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, and also, too, I haven't been pushing this too much, but because I kind of forget about it. I was so excited to be able to interview him for you guys so you can hear and see Nikki G. Stacey's having his people call me and say, take it off. I don't want to be associated with that guy.
What the heck is he talking about? Exactly.
Yeah. So, it was really great to be able to talk to him and just to really enjoy the conversation. But I was also interviewed by Stacey David for his podcast.
That's
so
nice.
You're going to need to look up Stacey David's podcast, not just to listen to me. And I don't think I talk about Jeeps at all on that podcast. I talked about my Nova. I talked about all the modifications that I made to it.
Wow.
I think I even talked about the asshole that pulled out in front of me when I was doing over 130 miles an hour. And
is that under his name, the podcast?
I'm sorry, I don't have it here in the show notes, but you can just do Stacey David podcast and I'm sure it will come up. I do not know when it's going to be released as far as the interview that I did with him. Stacey David's interview is going to be released on March 1st, this Friday. And I highly recommend that you watch it on YouTube so you can get the full 360 from Stacey David.
Very cool.
All right, so Easter Jeep Safari. And Larry, I hate to do this to you again. I know things change and people keep asking you because we just really like you being there. And of course, it's really all about Duke. But we need Duke, we need Duke's handler, to bring him. Are you going to EJS or is it still not sure?
I'm trying to figure out how to get out there for a day or two. I don't think I'll be able to get out there for the full week like last time, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to squeeze in a day or two of it.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I mean, everybody, I'm sure, would be more than happy to give you a ride and pull your take you around. But you're more than welcome to jump into the Gladiator. And hopefully you can make it. I'm sorry you can't drive out there and be part of the whole event.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, drive out there for a day or two.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to fly when you say a day or two.
Yeah, a day or two to get there, probably a day or two there, and a day or two back.
Oh, my God. You are just amazing on the travel. Have you thought about just flying out? Because I know you could probably do that for free, right?
Yeah, that's what I did 2 years ago. I flew into Montrose and then, made a drive around. Mm-hmm. And actually, on that trip, I actually rode with Bob a little bit.
I'm sorry.
So.
Poor Bob.
Well, I mean, Bob is like, he's very shy. He doesn't talk much, so it can be kind of a boring ride.
Yeah, he barely came out of his shell a little bit.
But
he's working on it.
Yeah.
He needs to call in and set you boys straight.
He will. But I'm sure there's going to be enough people there from the Jeep Talk Show that we could pick you up at the airport. So if it doesn't work out driving out there, or if you can stay longer, if you flew, then we'd love to get you out there, even if you don't bring Duke. So, Larry, I'm just teasing you about Duke. So Duke is Larry's dog, or actually, Larry is,
I'm his
Duke's handler.
What are you talking about? Duke is the man.
Get the priority right.
Exactly.
I'm there for his existence.
Don't offer, to hold the leash for Duke. Larry gets this look on his face like, no, that's like nuclear fallout. No, you don't want to hold on to Duke's leash. Duke's always really calm. He enjoys me because I feed him.
Oh yeah. He's there for the treats.
They all are. Anyway, so I'm going to be going to EJS in the next few weeks. I'm going to be meeting up with several listeners and team members to have a fantastic time. And no, I'm not setting high expectations. I went last year, and it was an absolute blast because I was there with the Jeep Talk Show listeners and team members. And that's what you want for such a great shared experience is people that you know. And several of them I had met for the first time, but it's like we knew each other because of all the community that we have as part of the Jeep Talk Show, our Discord, our Zoom meeting, and this is just a wonderful community to be a part of. And I say that not because obviously it is for me, but I say that because I hear it from several people that they just really love being part of the Jeep Talk Show community, bringing people together that wouldn't normally be together. And I like to mention that, if you have a Jeep and you don't live close to anybody for the Jeep Talk Show, it doesn't matter because they talk about events on the Discord server, and then you can meet up. Drive the distance wherever it's going to be and join in on the Colorado trip or like this one, the EJS trip. And you can be part of this and you could get to know the people through Discord and the Zoom meeting. So it's like you're just meeting a friend you've known for a while, but not actually met. So, Larry, I know you've done this. You went on the Colorado trip and you knew the guys that were going up there. And right. You didn't go to the Arizona one, did you? That was just Bill and...
No, I didn't get to go to that one.
Yeah.
But he came out to California for our event.
Yep, so. And Wendy's going to have more of those, I'm sure.
Yep.
So, you can wheel with Jeep Talk Show host, Jeep Talk Show listeners, and Jeep Talk Show team members. But anyway, I mentioned earlier, going to EJS, which this decision just happened yesterday, it means I have to complete the Motobilt skid system install.
You better get going.
I may not have the exhaust skid on there, but I'll have the rest of it on there. Well, I don't have all the places to screw in the brackets. There's some welding that has to be done, and I don't weld, and I don't have anybody that I trust to weld it. But we'll see. Just go to the Discord server, as I just mentioned, and you can keep up with the goings-on, what we're going to do, where we're going to be, where we're all going to meet up, and I'm sure we're going to be meeting up on probably Sunday afternoon. I think a lot of people are getting there on Sunday, certainly Monday. And of course, you're welcome to come along. Really encourage you that if you were thinking about going to EJS, or maybe it was just out of the, you weren't going, come on down, spend the week, spend a few days, and let us meet you and go off-road with us. So if you'd like to be part of our Discord server, just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact, and you will find a Discord invite link there. It is free and it is fun. And back to what Larry was saying, there's no food, free food or free beverages. So,
no, never.
I just confuse people. All right. So also, too, it is several months away, but the fourth, I think that's the fourth. I think it's the fourth. Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's the fourth, yeah.
The fourth annual Jeep Talk Show Off-Road Event Texas, I need to work in a couple more words on that, is happening on June 8th, which is a Saturday, at Hidden Falls Off-Road Park. Jeep Talk Show team members are working on a ride for Friday. Larry, I don't know if you've been keeping up with this. Is it just Friday, or were they talking about Thursday and Friday?
We were talking yesterday about possibly some Thursday, definitely some Friday.
Right. And I did see
rides
mention
in the area.
Yeah. And like Luckenbach, and you guys probably remember the popular song Luckenbach, Texas. F.U. Bob actually was surprised that Luckenbach was very close to Hidden Falls. And he would have gone there the last time he was here. And I think that's actually what started the whole idea about doing this, not off-road, but Jeep drive around and seeing things and going to places. Yeah. And I heard some wild talk about going to barbecue places. At least one, you know.
Tony's in on that one.
And I think it's Hole in a Wall Barbecue, which is the, you know, it's the
even
place.
Better.
Yeah. It's either the place you die from eating, or it's like, oh my God, I wish I could get this barbecue at a big place.
I was asking John what kind of sauces they have, just to try to get his goat a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like ordering ketchup at a steak place.
Of course.
Exactly.
So, this plan on coming down. And for you folks that are a long ways away, that includes you, Larry, this is good because now it's something to do more than just a morning and an afternoon.
It's like a full event.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to justify coming down, multiple hours, and sometimes in some cases a 2-day travel to come down for, you know, a day. I mean, I'm not saying it's not fun, but I certainly understand just the having a break in driving a long ways and then driving a long ways back.
Yeah, you know, just for the people who are going to drive down, though, just the quick word on Hidden Falls. There's bunk houses. Mm-hmm. There's like, they call them there's some kind of hotel, but it has more amenities than just a bunk house.
Oh, it has a bathroom.
Yeah, bathrooms and everything in it. So there's plenty of places inside the park to stay. If you want to camp outside in a tent in Texas June.
If you're Don,
those. Yeah, there's Lord. Those two, but there's plenty of amenities and outside. But Marble Falls is only, 20 minutes away?
If that. So, I don't think it's like, it's about like 5 or 7 miles. It's just a little slow because of the windy road.
Right. So,
but that's where you stayed. You stayed in the motel there 1 year, didn't you?
Yeah, the first year I did, yes. And then the last couple I've stayed, the bunkhouse is actually in the off-road park. So, I mean, if you guys go out to Hidden Falls and look at the bunkhouses, you get those reserved, and it's a really nice park with a lot of amenities.
Right.
And John and Bill have done a great job mapping everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great Jeep Talk Show team members, and it's fun every year. I'm getting more used to the park, and I'm learning it as we're going there every year. And it's a fun place to go. It's about a 3-hour drive for me, which I really appreciate. And the 3 hours isn't too bad once you get kind of used to going up there and back.
Right.
So, and like I was saying, Thursday as well as Friday, possibly Thursday, small Texas towns, barbecue or two. And you can look forward to at least a couple of days of fun with the Jeep Talk Show people. And that's really what it's all about, is all the community that we've built up.
Right.
All right, for our must-have stuff, oh, and Wendy, you're more than welcome to come down. You know that.
I'm trying to figure out, now that you're doing almost 3 days, it's like, that might actually be worth it if I could figure out how to get there.
I've just assumed, because it's such a long ways. I thought about coming up there to the event that you had gone to.
Is it 19 hours? I think I tried to do the math.
It's 19 hours for me to go to EJS.
No, maybe it's a little longer. I thought I mapped it from here to Hidden Falls.
Yeah, but I'm about 3 hours away from Hidden Falls, Marble Falls, Texas. So it may be the same. I don't know, because Texas is huge. You'll be in Texas for a long time once you get here.
A week.
We're almost there. We're in Texas. No.
I've actually been across Texas on a motorcycle, and I will tell you, it's a week. I don't care if it's a half a day. It's a week. A
lot of Texas to be seen.
Yeah. Man, it's huge. The state's huge.
All right. So in our must-have stuff for your Jeep, slime.
Yes.
Now, this slime is cleaning gel for our Jeep auto detailing, slime, mud, putty, dust cleaner removal. And I specifically, you can use it for your keyboard, laptop keyboards, all kinds of things. Cool. It's only $5.99. You can use it more than once. I suspect there's a limit to how much crap you can suck up into the slime.
How
many potato chips it'll hold.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to keep it away from your dog then.
That's right.
Nobody wants to watch that poop, make sure thing ever that came out. This car cleaning gel is perfect for cleaning narrow and hard to clean crevices in your car, such as cleaning vents. Is a great idea. Gears, dashboards, and even the smallest nooks and crannies picks up dust, debris, crumbs. And of course, I thought about this because I'm going to EJS. And if you've ever been to EJS, it's dusty and you get a lot of stuff in everything. Most of it passes out when you do number two, but in the vehicle, you don't have that issue. Great thing is no more double duty for your toothbrush. You can use this instead of, the toothbrush.
Teeth brush.
So now it will not, speaking of EJS and Moab, it will not clean up or repair a broken taillight that you do while you're at Moab.
It's not glue. It's just gel.
It's not magic. Although the technologies we're seeing more and more of is getting very akin to magic. And if we didn't understand it, we would call it magic.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Jeep Talk Show. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us improve the show and reach more Jeep enthusiasts like yourself. I really would like the feedback. You guys need to give us feedback. If there's something you don't like, we especially love hearing that. If you don't like me, well, too bad. You're just stuck with it.
Send your letters to Nikki G.
Send your cards and letters to Nikki G. And include your own well songs. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media. I love the Instagram. That's where we always post first. But you can see us on TikTok, Facebook, even LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, we post stuff up on LinkedIn as well. So, but never Pinterest. We don't do Pinterest. We do have standards. So stay up to date with the latest news, Jeep news and events. Finally, if you have any questions or comments or ideas for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and you'll find multiple ways to contact us. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Wendy, Larry, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. And we appreciate you being here every week, both me and the listeners.
Broadcasting since 2010.